What we heard in our children's message is exactly what God's going to do with that money and the money that's given by 14 million Southern Baptists across this country who will be investing in the lives and the eternal life of others. And I have to say this before I move on, and I know that Judith and Catherine were very proud of Luke today because that's our Bible drillers at work. That's our kids memorizing scripture, and that was terrific. Great job, Luke. It's about halfway through the wilderness wandering. The Hebrews were making their way from Egypt to the promised land, and the Lord commanded Moses, "Meet me at the top of Sinai, the mountain of God." A few leaders were allowed to accompany Moses part of the way, but then they were brought to a stop by a cloud and a holy fire, and they knew this is as close as you're ever going to get. The only one that was allowed to accompany him to the top of the mountain was Joshua. They were with the Lord on the mountain for 40 days, and it's during that time that the Lord gave Moses the Ten Commandments graven in stone. But something else happened while they were on that mountain. God gave Moses detailed instructions about a special tent that was going to be built in order to worship the Lord. It would be huge, elaborately made. The tent would be where God's people were to worship and sacrifice. And there would always be that place set apart within that tent where the presence of God would dwell. The Lord said it would be a vivid reminder to his people that wherever they went, he would be with them. The name of this great tent was to be the Tabernacle, which means the place where the presence of God abides. And later when he returned to the camp, Moses took his own tent and turned it into a temporary place of worship. He called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. It was located outside of the camp, separated from the people, and nobody was allowed to go close to this tabernacle. If a man needed something from God, he couldn't go there by himself. He went to Moses, and Moses would go to the tabernacle on his behalf. And whenever Moses entered the tabernacle of meeting, a cloud would cover the entrance, and the glory of God would reveal itself. And the Bible says, and God would meet with Moses as a man speaks to his friend. When Moses left the tent, he would call the people together and he would tell them what the Lord had instructed him to say. But only Moses had direct access to God. Merry Christmas. This is the season when we're supposed to be celebrating Christ's birth. Today's message is supposed to be about shepherds abiding and wise men following a star in a little stable in Bethlehem. How in the world does Moses fit into the story of the coming of Christ in Bethlehem so long ago? And the answer is more amazing than you could imagine. To find it, you have to go to the Gospel of John. This year, we've been looking together at what God had to say through the Gospels. And we've discovered the Christmas in Matthew. And we discovered about the Gospel in Mark. And we discovered about how Christ was born in Bethlehem in Luke. And now we come to John. And John has always been known as the most thoughtful of the gospel writers. John is different from the other three. You see, when John wrote his gospel, the other three gospels had been written. In fact, John probably knew what had been said in Matthew and Mark and Luke. So he asked a different question about the life of Christ. While the other three asked the question, what happened when Jesus came? John asked the question, what does it mean? What does it mean that the Word became flesh? So Matthew begins with Joseph and tells about the wise men. Luke tells about Mary and about the visit of the shepherds. But John begins by writing, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he talks about a shepherd who came to bring the light into the darkness, and about how he came into his own, and his own received him not. And when John describes the birth of Christ, there's no innkeeper, and there's no shepherd, and there's no wise men. Instead, this is what John says magnificently. He says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Except, that's not exactly what John said. And that's where what I told you about Moses comes in. You see, with this verse, John is revealing that when Jesus came, everything changed. Nothing has ever been the same since the Word became flesh. That's what I want to talk to you about a little bit this Sunday before Christmas as we prepare to worship the coming of the King. I want to talk about what changed because God sent his Son. And we're going to discover that John has some incredible truth for us. The first thing I want you to know is this: because Christ came, God is closer than you can imagine. The key to the whole passage we read together is found in the literal translation of what God led John to write in John 1:14. What he wrote was not, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." What he literally wrote was this: "And the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us." He tabernacled among us. When Jesus came, he brought the very presence of God. His body literally became the living temple of God. He was Emmanuel, God with us. Just like the tabernacle represented the presence of God when Moses was alive. But here's the huge difference. This is why everything changed with the coming of Jesus. Before God sent his Son, people were afraid to come into the presence of God. They were afraid to get close to him. Remember, the tabernacle is away from the camp. Remember, only Moses can go into the tabernacle of meeting. Remember, nobody else is allowed to get close. The clouds and the fire kept people away from God. They worshiped God. They feared God. They served God. They obeyed God. But the idea that you would ever have access to the presence of God was completely foreign to them. People kept their distance. But then the Bible says Jesus came and he tabernacled among us. In other words, instead of being way over there, far away from everybody, where you had to wonder what was going on and what was God was like and what God thought, he came and he came right where we are. He came to dwell among us. It's so important to recognize that when God sent his Son, everything we read in the gospel says the Lord was serious about getting close to people. All of a sudden, instead of being way over there, all of a sudden, instead of having to depend upon the sacrificial system, all of a sudden, instead of having to trust the priest to give you access to God, he came, and he came right where we are. God sent his Son to live right in the middle of ordinary people living ordinary lives. Shepherds were the first witnesses. He grew up in a small town. The truth is, Nazareth, that town in where Jesus grew up, if we were going to talk about that as a town here in Alabama, we would say that's one of those towns that has one stop sign and no traffic lights. You just went right through on the way to somewhere else. No wonder people said, "Can anything important ever come out of Nazareth?" Through John, the Lord was saying to you and to me, he has come right where you are. God has come, and he's brought his tabernacle, his presence. But his presence is not off there. His presence is right here. He knows what's happening in your world. He knows what's going on in your life. He knows where you're hurting. He knows where you're failing. He knows where you're guilty. He knows where you're afraid. He knows what you need. He knows what you dream for. He knows everything about you, and he's not knowing those things and keeping his distance. He's right where you are. He brought God's presence here because here is where people desperately need him to be. Here's a great message for this Christmas. The Lord is here. He is Emmanuel. And that's not just a phrase in the Bible. And it's not just a name on a card. It is a description of how close He is. This Christmas, you need to know that you worship the one who was born in a manger, but more than that, you worship the one who came to bring light into the darkness and to become Emmanuel. And all you have to do is reach out to Him, because He's right there. Before Jesus, God was far away. But through Him, He's as close as your heart, as near as your breath. He is closer than you can imagine. But not only is close, John also tells us that through His coming, Christ invites you into a deep personal experience with Him. It is astounding to know that God came to plant His tent among us, to bring the tabernacle of God in the midst of us. But the next thing the Bible says is even more astounding. This is what it says. It says, "And we beheld His glory." We saw the Son of God firsthand, up close. He revealed Himself to us. Remember how it was before? The cloud and the fire, the light. You couldn't get close. The idea of ever knowing what it was like to be near God was impossible. Only Moses was allowed to get close. Only Moses witnessed the glory of God. Only Moses talked with God as a friend talks to his friend. But when Jesus dwelt among us, He opened a way for everybody to know God personally. He said this, "We beheld His glory." Now understand, sometimes we think of glory and we think of that as being like, this is the evidence of the power and the majesty and the wonder of God. But when John said, "We beheld His glory," what he was saying is, our eyes were opened. And we're able to see it for ourselves. We're able to experience it personally. It's not just something you hear about. It's something that is real, and it's real in your heart. Listen to how he said it in 1 John. The beginning of that epistle, he said, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life, this life was manifested, made real, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us." You know what he was saying in that verse? He was saying, "We beheld His glory." We saw Him face to face. We are invited to talk to Him as a friend talks to a friend. All because of Jesus. It is His presence, His glory, the presence of His Holy Spirit that transforms lives today. Let me tell you something this Christmas that is the greatest gift that you will ever receive. You are privileged to have personal access to the glory of God, to the glory of Jesus Christ, who wants you to know Him as a friend talks to a friend, who wants your relationship to Him to be more personal than any other relationship in your life. No more worshiping God from a distance. No more coming before His presence with fear. Now you come to God and you know Him as Savior and Lord. You know Him as Jesus. And most of all, the Word became flesh to give us the things we needed the most and had the least. John tells us that Jesus came to dwell among us, and He brought the two things to the world that we need more than anything, grace and truth. We beheld His glory full of grace and truth, and there's nothing you need more than grace and truth. And the Bible says Jesus was full of both of them. So what does that mean? Well, grace is God giving you what you know you don't deserve. God is giving you something that you recognize I am absolutely unworthy to receive. If I think of grace as God paying off what I've been asking for all the time, then you don't understand grace whatsoever. Grace is recognizing, as many times as I've made mistakes, as often as I've sinned, as many times as I have walked another way, God still loves me. He wants to have mercy on me. He wants me to come home to Him. You know, sometimes you'll hear somebody blaming God for the disappointments and the heartaches in their lives because they think, God has been unfair to me. God has allowed me to struggle. God has allowed bad things to happen to me. Over the years, I've found that that is particularly true of people who are experiencing the consequences of choices they made because they rejected God's will. You know, I'm not going to do it God's way. I'll do it my way. I'm not going to follow His path. I'll follow my path. God tells me something, I'm going to disobey. I will walk anywhere I want to. And then when calamity comes, when the consequences occur, they begin to say, what has God done to me? What has God done to me? And they shake their fist at the Lord and they cry out, all I want is what I deserve. But only a fool demands what they deserve from the Almighty. If you have any sense at all, you pray for mercy and you trust in grace. You know you can't earn forgiveness, and yet that's the thing you need the most. So Jesus came to bring God's grace, which is the forgiveness you don't deserve and you can't expect. Here's the thing about grace. The grace of Jesus can cover the sins of your past. The grace of Jesus comes and all of those things are wiped away. And you are made clean again. And no matter what you've done or how deeply you have sinned, how many times you have failed, when you turn to Jesus, you always find not only grace, what do you find? You find that Jesus is full of grace. Full of grace. And you have a new beginning. And then he's full of truth. Jesus brought the truth so that you don't have to stumble around in the darkness. John says he was the light and he came to bring the light, and the light would shine in the darkness, and the darkness could not comprehend it, could not overcome it. When he saves you, Jesus doesn't want you to slip right back into the sin that enslaved you before. And that's what happens when people do what they think is right or what they feel is good at a given moment. If I really want to live a righteous life, one of the things I know is true is this: I can't trust me. And the other thing I know is true is this: and you can't trust you. I can't trust my opinions. I can't trust my judgment. I can't trust my feelings. I can't trust me. I need truth. I need somebody to tell me this is how it really is. Truth that was the same yesterday and today and forever. You can build a life around the truth. When Jesus came, the Bible says he was full of truth. Truth about God. Truth about you. Truth about what will build you up and truth about what will tear you down. Truth about how to find purpose and peace through knowing and obeying the Lord. He came to tell you this is the truth. One of the things that we talk about at our church often is how important it is to know the Word of God. Last year, you remember, Dr. Hutchins led us, and we had a group of folks who read through the entire Bible standing here behind the sanctuary because we're committed to truth. And we have our children who can recite John 3:16 to us, and we say to one another all the time, if you don't do anything else in your spiritual life, spend some time every day reading the Bible. Why is that? Is it so you can feel spiritual or look spiritual or know spiritual? No, it's because you need the truth. And that's where God sends it. When the Bible says Jesus was full of truth, one of the things it means is this: he was never wrong. When you read the stories in the Gospels, when you read the teachings of the Lord, one of the things you need to know is Jesus told the truth and he was never wrong. And a life built around him will be full of truth. And a life built around anything except him may feel right and look right, and in some ways it may be right, but it's never going to get you home. Not without the truth. That's why you need more than grace. You need truth. And while grace can cover your past, truth provides for your future. Jesus came to be full of grace and truth so that he could forgive what has been and guide you toward what can be. And that's what it means to recognize he was born in a manger. God sent his only begotten Son. He's closer than you can imagine. He's come to give you a chance for a new beginning. And it comes from a personal relationship with him. But then he leaves the choice up to you. John tells us this is what God did. This is why he did it. This is who he was that came. It tells us that God came to tabernacle among us to let us be as close as we could get so that we could experience grace and know truth. And it all comes through Jesus. But then every one of us has to make a decision. So what am I going to do with this? Because I have a couple of choices. I can walk out of this room today and never think about this message again. Or I can walk away forever changed. If you're here and you're not a believer, one of the things you need to know is God did all of this because he loves you that much. Jesus came to dwell among us because that's how much he cares. And if you trust him, he will forgive your sins and he will grant you everlasting life. And all you got to do is come to him. Or maybe you're here as a believer, but you recognize, you know what? I've been trusting my own self way too much, and that's why I don't have the relationship that I need to have. It's time for me to come back to grace and truth. It's time for me to come back to the one who was born in Bethlehem. It's time for me to come back to Jesus. And maybe today you need to come and to say, it's just time for me to renew my relationship with Christ. Or maybe you're here today and God's calling you to be a member of First Baptist Church, to plant yourself in this place and to serve him through the ministry that God is doing here. Is there a decision you need to make? In a moment, we're going to stand. We're going to sing our invitation hymn. I'll be here. Dr. Hutchins will be here. We would love to help you with anything God's doing in your life. If the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, you come today. Let's stand together. Let's sing.
Thank you.
This has been a good Christmas season, a great Christmas Sunday. We're just so grateful we got to share in Dawson's dedication, and we're glad to have all of you all here with him. And we got to worship together. We got to share our commitment to Lottie Moon. And now we look forward to Christmas. I hope that this coming Friday, you'll make it a point to be here at 5 o'clock for the most reverent service that we share each year. And that's our Candlelight Communion service. If you've been before, you know what to expect. If you haven't, it's just one of those times when all of our focus is on the Lord Jesus. And we look forward to sharing that time with you. Let's bow together for our final prayer and then our last song. Father, we thank you that you are the one who came to dwell among us, to tabernacle with us. And you've planted yourself in our world, and you became one of us that we might become like you. Father, we pray that as we go through this Christmas season, that the presence of Jesus will be real to us each day, that each day as we turn to your word, we will find you there. And Father, that we will experience your grace and your overwhelming truth. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.